I was thinking about a good topic to speak on tonight, and of course, this is New Year's Eve, correct? And many around the world are either already having their parties, or they're looking, or at home looking at parties and other people partying. We are here to look into what God has done for us, as well as what the Lord has in store for us. And I tell, and you may hear this every year from me, this is one of my favorite holidays. I just love having a time to turn the page, to look back and reflect, to remember, to think about all that God has done and take stock, to learn of what God has done and to praise Him, to give Him thanks and to really thank Him for all that the Lord has done personally, marriage-wise, family-wise, work-wise, chapel-wise. It's really important. I think that you could find many examples in the Word of God where they paused and they gave glory to God. They gave thanks. They put the 12 stones and they built an altar and they gave glory. They remembered all that the Lord has done. And I think that's important. Important for us to do in our lives, to remember, to reflect, and to take stock and learn. And I think one of the dangers of not doing that is you won't have any aspect to measure yourself, measure on how you're growing holy, how you're growing towards the Lord, how you're directing and leading your marriage and your family. Is it where the Lord wants it to be? I think there should be great times of reflection. Sometimes, you know, when we have prayer, I tell Anjali and Aaron, okay, each of you have to pray and thank God for one thing this day or this week. It's good. It's good to reflect and remember and see what the Lord is doing. Hello to 2018. Happy New Year. Gain wisdom from the past. Pray more. Study the Word of God, vision, and make plans for God and for the things of God. We'll get to that a little bit more. But, you know, there's many people that don't do or don't celebrate or they can't celebrate these things because they regret many things, or they feel that there's just too many failures in their life, things that they've failed at, where they cannot move past. We live in a world that is so up and down, have short emotional highs, and then all of a sudden they hit rock bottom, and they live their life like that, and they go nowhere. Especially if a believer goes through that ups and downs, there's no steadiness, there's no growth in the things of the Lord. I think when you reflect and you remember, we've been going through Proverbs, you gain wisdom. You gain instruction of what the Lord has done or what the Lord is doing through those trials and tribulations. You know, the world is very good at, you know, that vending machine mentality. Let me get the new best thing, the new car or the new materialistic thing. And they don't look at what is God doing? What is God doing? What is God teaching? How are we learning when we live as believers? So I want to talk about a few of these things. A few thoughts to ponder. One man said to his friend, "Say, you look depressed. What are you thinking about?" "My future," was the quick answer. "What makes it so hopeless?" "My past." You know, they don't let go of the things in the past, right? They become depressed. They don't let go of what the Lord said. "I have already finished and completed these things. Why do you dwell on what shouldn't be?" Warren Wiersbe says another aspect. "Do not say, why were the former days better than these?" Have you ever met a person that say, "Oh, the glory years. Oh, the glory days. Why were the former days better than these?" You do not move ahead by constantly looking in a rearview mirror. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you. We must learn from the past, but not live in the past. Happy New Year is turning the page, right? Learning from the past and moving on, and even visioning, planning, resoluting to do things better, to do things. Maybe I missed the mark here. Doesn't mean I'm going to live in that failure. I'm going to move on. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to look unto the Lord for new and better things, new challenges. I really like this year because I always push myself. I'm like, how can I love more? How can I forgive more? How can I spend more time with my wife, with my children, in the things of God? I challenge myself. You know, even if I fall short, I'm glad that I tried. See, many people don't even move that way. Many people don't even want to even take that step because they're worried about, oh, I'll just fail at that again. I've tried it. You know, I've been married for so long. I've had these kids for so long. I've tried so many times. The Lord doesn't do that. The Lord challenges us and pushes us for the things of His glory. So I want us to think in these ways. How do we view the past and how do we move on to the future? So dealing with failure by learning from the past and understanding God's instruction for the future. I was thinking about these things and I was like, why do so many people lead unsuccessful lives? Or why do they dwell in the past so much? Well, it's because they don't move on. And they don't look at what God is doing in the big picture. If you look at Scripture, one of the best people to look at and their lives and how the Lord used them hugely, that's a bad word, but anyway, is Peter. Because Peter, you could say, as you review his life, messed up in so many ways, but God was transforming him. God was getting him ready for His glory and for His service. And so I want to look at the Apostle Peter, and he's very a unique individual. You know, Peter, the disciple who failed, he was transformed to serve in mighty ways, but he failed in similar ways that we do today. So I want to look at how those things affect us. Self-confidence. He was very self-confident, but we know that he failed miserably multiple ways, right? If you think about early on in the life of Jesus and the ministry and as he was with the disciples, in Luke chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 5, do you remember the story where Jesus says to throw the nets on the other side? And what happens? Peter doesn't understand it all, and then what happens? They have a great number of fish, right, to the breaking point. And what was Peter's response? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. They were self-confident. "We've been fishing all night. There's nothing out there." But what's the distance of depending upon the Lord, throwing it on the other side of the boat, right? Sometimes people are so self-confident they can't see past what the Lord is doing. He failed also when he was walking on the sea. You remember that, right? What happened? He saw the Lord, but what happened when he looked away? He started to sink, right? The self-confidence. He was impulsive. We know, right? He was very impulsive. What did he do? He's like a man that has the weapon, right? He takes it and he goes to cut off Malchus's ear. He was impulsive. Also, at Jesus' persecution, he stood afar off, right? He said, "I would never leave thee," but what happens? We know that he denies and he fails in major ways. I want us to look at a few things here. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And I want us to look at dealing with failure, and how does the Lord work in Peter's life to teach him something else, to teach him to move on, for I have great and amazing things for you. In our lives, sometimes we get so locked into failures and depression and regrets that we don't move on. We don't see that God is active. God has a purpose. He wants us to be used, but what do? We get in the way and we remember too much of the past. Matthew chapter 26, we're going to read this portion here. And again, it's about the story of Peter, and I want us to glean some words of truth from this, okay? So beginning with verse 30, this is ESV, but I'm going to read in New King James. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Let's skip down to verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus and said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. In this story, in Peter's life, we get to see a what if. What if Peter did not move on from his failures? What if he did not understand or didn't adhere to what God has told him and move on to what God was doing in his life? Peter was a great man, and he started to follow after Jesus in a mighty way, and even so much so he gave up all things and he followed Jesus, but God was working in his life to make him even greater, to use him even more. Sometimes we lose that aspect of our Christian lives. We lose that God is doing a perfect and wonderful work in our lives. But most of the time, who's in the way? It's us, right? We are in the way. And we get caught up on these things of failures, regrets, of things that did not come, or woe is me. And we don't get to think, okay, God, what else? What's next? I want us to think about some of these things. Peter's failures here, first, he did not listen to Jesus when he warned Peter of Satan's coming testing. I want us to look at some of these verses. Luke 22:31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you." What, can you imagine the Lord Jesus praying for you? Of course, he's the intercessor, right? And he prayed for Peter, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Think about this promise in Peter's life. Luke 22:31, "Peter, Peter, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." See, Peter did not listen to Jesus when he warned Peter of Satan's coming testing. Sometimes Jesus speaks to us in such amazing ways, and sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're not even studying the Word of God, praying and spending time with God to even hear His voice, to even sense the Holy Spirit moving. And you miss God's lessons. Well, I hope in this new year we don't miss lessons. My prayer is that we as a chapel and you personally will take up this call of, hey, you know what? I want to hear God's voice in my life. I want to see what God will do in and through me for this 2018 year. This is how God transforms lives, when we are attuned to what God is doing. See, Peter failed here, but Peter was learning, I think, as we go on. Another one of Peter's failures, he didn't watch and pray, as we read in Matthew 26, 41. And going a little farther, he fell on his face, Jesus, and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Here we have a great example of failures of many believers' lives. We don't watch. We're not aware to what Satan is doing in the world or even tempting us in our lives. We rather take the convenient route. And we don't, open up our Bible, or we don't spend time with God to watch, to understand what the warfare and how the warfare is before us. And what do? We don't even spend time in prayer. See, I think this is a failure that he didn't watch and pray. The disciples didn't even have, when Jesus had one of the most pressured times, he brought them with him. And he said, "Watch and pray with me. I need this. Brothers, and do you understand? You will be tempted. You will be persecuted. Watch and pray. Watch and pray." See, we don't do enough of this. I was burdened at the conference. Usually, I'll just confess to you all here. As I go to a conference, I think of vacation time. And morning prayer time is early in the morning, especially when it's central time and you lose an hour. And they have men's prayer and women's prayer. And I was challenged. Actually, Roy challenged me, though he didn't show up. He went to the second one. I went to the first one. I was challenged to go and pray. Can I tell you what an encouragement it is to hear brothers cry out before the Lord? They were crying out to the Lord for help. For other people that didn't know the Lord. For people that had broken marriages, broken testimonies. And they were crying out with tears. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. See, I think this is one of my resolutions for 2018. Watch and pray more. See, Jesus was calling them, "Hey, I'm trying to teach you a lesson here. You will be tempted. Your flesh is weak." Brothers and sisters, don't tell that I'm telling a lie here, because I know how temptation is. Our flesh is weak and we need to watch and pray more. We live such weak lives, faithless lives, because we don't fall to our knees enough. We don't watch. We're not aware of the warfare before us and in and around us. Can we do that? Can we do this different in the coming year? Another Peter's failures is he didn't listen to Christ when he said, "Let these go their way." Here's a little thought here. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." Maybe Jesus was giving an active command of some sort. "This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into his sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?'" He said before, even Jerusalem, right? When they were headed to Jerusalem, "I go, and this is what is going to happen. This is what has to happen." And the disciples still could not understand. And Peter, in his impulsiveness, can you imagine Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, that he could just speak and blow these men down? He could just speak. And what happens to Peter? Peter's the impulsive one, right? He says, Jesus says, let these men go. For this is my will, this is my testimony, this is what I must do. And how does Peter react? He reacts in a very impulsive way, right? Instead of being obedient. Some of us have been very disobedient in our lives, right? Some of us have heard God's call and have not responded. Some of us have been holding back for many years of maybe doing more in the chapel, doing more in the service of God, giving more. Maybe we're being selfish even. What has God been speaking to you about in this last year? Take time to review this year. I'm not saying all of this, nor did Peter go through these things, and nor did Jesus dwell upon them. But Jesus used these things to make Peter who he was going to be. He went through the failures. You know, in business school and in all these, you know, different philosophies or whatever, a business, they always say, you will never be successful unless you go through the failures. Failure is good so that you learn how to be successful. You know where they learned it from? In the Scriptures. They learned these things in the Scriptures, right? Because these men of God went through these difficult times, right? These were disciples that were walking with them, and they failed, but God was going to use it in amazing ways. What's another failure? He failed Christ in such a humbling, humiliating way by his three denials. Of course, we read this, Matthew 26:75. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine Peter walking through this portion of his life? He wanted to be full of faith. He was the impulsive one. He was the strong one. He was going to say, even if they all leave, I'm going to be there. And can you imagine what happened when he says, no, I'm not him. No, I do not know this man. Can you imagine his heart and his life? And what he was saying as Jesus was going through that. He, in such a humiliating way, what more of a humiliating way than to deny Christ than right before men? When God calls us to stand up and represent Christ and be obedient, what a humiliating way. Can I tell you, I think the most climatic part of this was when in Luke 22:61. When Peter says, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. A few versions of this is in movies. Can you imagine, after Peter's denial, the rooster crowed, and to see the look on the Savior's face? Can you imagine the feeling of failure? I think one version or someone tried to capture it in the video. And after Peter denies, they show him and it's pouring down rain and he's hunched over and is weeping bitterly. Can you imagine that failure? Can you imagine what Peter was thinking? See, I don't think, you see, sometimes we get into these ruts in our life where we cannot even lift our heads up to see what more God has, and we say, woe is me, and we keep in that mentality. But Peter knew there was something more. Peter knew there was something more that he had, that God had in store for him. And I want you guys to think about these things. Dealing with failure and understanding God's instruction for the future. What do you do in this new year when all else fails? Isaiah 55 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, I've never wept bitterly in my life, but can I tell you I came close to it when our dear sister passed away? I never really wept. I've been to many funerals. But when you don't understand when the Lord takes away a life, you have to call upon Him. You have to seek His ways because His ways are higher than ours. And you fall upon God and you seek Him out. If you're in a rut, if you're all engrossed in a sin that you know has been in your life and the flesh is so weak, call out to God and seek for help. Ask for forgiveness. And don't dwell upon it, because you know what? Who gains the victory? Satan. Satan is gaining the victory when you dwell in that. Seek the Lord while He may be found. I thought this was really cool. In Luke 22:31, which we read, Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. I prayed for you." And what does He promise next? "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." How do you gain strength? How do you build muscle? You have to pull weight, right? You have to tear the tears and repair, but only if you go through that failure and look to the Lord. You see that? "And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Strengthen your brothers. I have prayed for you. What do we learn here? God has bigger plans through the failures. And Peter was transformed to be God's servant. I want you to think about this, how Peter was restored. This is how God does things, how amazing they are. And we don't understand them. Well, this is what happens. And my time is flying here, so I'm going to go fast. Because Peter fails personally first, God restores personally. Mark 16:7, He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified, and He has risen." This is at the temple, at the tomb. "He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go tell His disciples and Peter." You see how Peter is called out specifically? 1 Corinthians 15:5, Paul says, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I have also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas." Why deal with a man that has denied you? Why deal with this man that is impulsive and self-confident and that is no good for the ministry? God's ways are not our ways, right? He appeared to Cephas, Peter. He appeared to Peter. Luke 24:34, "And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of the bread." What a beautiful picture of restoration. You see how God restored Peter? He learned through his failures, right? He looks at his failures, but God was going to restore him. This was personal restoration back to discipleship, saying, "Peter, I have something better for you. I'm going to use you in ways you have no imagination." How does He restore him publicly? He denies him, right? He denies him, but publicly He restores him. Turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 is a beautiful picture of public restoration. And there's other lessons here, but we're just focusing on Peter here. 15 through 19 here. "So when they had eaten breakfast," this is after the resurrection, okay? This is in that 40-day period, and Jesus is appearing to them. And so they had to always be ready. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. With the disciples around, right? They just came from the catch, right? And he was so impulsive to see his Lord and Savior again that what did he do? Took his garment and he jumped into the water, right? And they were bringing the catch in. And what a beautiful picture that before Jesus teaches a lesson, he what? He provides a meal. Let me provide you a meal. Let's have sweet fellowship. Let me take you back in, and I'm going to restore you, and I'm going to build you up. And from being fishers of men, now I'm going to call you to shepherd. Shepherd. Take care of the flock. Take care of what I've called you to. You see, restoration is beautiful. But you have to move that way to come closer to God, right? In the new year, I say that we follow some of these lessons. Follow some of these lessons that we've looked at today. Pay attention to the living God. Pay attention to the Word of God. And apply the principles that you learn. Do you have an active Bible study? Do you have a plan in place to study the Word of God? Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's the study of a character in the Word of God. Pray and see how God will transform you in this new year. To watch and pray. Can I encourage those that don't come to the prayer meeting to make an effort? Just to make an effort. I'm not saying, I know it's difficult, especially young families, I know it's difficult. But I'm telling you, God calls us to come together and pray, Acts chapter 2. House to house they went, they got together, they fellowshiped, they broke bread, they taught apostles' teaching, and they prayed. We need prayer. Why? What did he use it as? Watch and pray unless you fall into temptation. We have powerless lives as believers because we're not watching and we're not praying. Asking the Lord for help. Asking the Lord to protect us. Praying for our brothers and sisters in their need, of their time of need. We need to watch and pray more. Hear, yield, and be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Do you hear God's call? Do you hear how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us? Maybe if you don't, maybe you need to be around wiser women, men and women who could help you discern these things. This is what discipleship is, right? To hear, to yield, be attentive to the Holy Spirit. You know, I like some of these older men when they come up to me or Jonathan or to the other guys and say, hey, I'm thinking about this. What do you think about it? Well, you know, before I say something, can we pray? Let's have a time of prayer. And let's seek God's counsel together. You know, something else Peter learned the hard way was put no confidence in your own strength, but lean upon the Lord. In 2018, can we do things different? Can we do things different? Can we resolute? Can we say, hey, I'm going to challenge myself to do things different? I'm tired. I'm tired of depending upon my own efforts. I'm tired of saying I'll make all these decisions without an ounce of prayer. Can you see Peter? Peter had to learn this the hard way. But he learned it, and he was used in mighty ways. He died for the Savior. Do you know how he died? He died on an upside-down cross. What an amazing way to die for the Lord. I want us just to look at this, and I know our time is gone. I just want to go through some of these resolutions that Jonathan Edwards went through, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. He had some good resolutions that I could, I'm not going to read all of this, but being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions. So far as they are agreeable to his will, for Christ's sake, I will remember to read over these resolutions once a week. Resolve that I will do whatever I think to be most to the glory of God. Have you turned to yourself in the mirror and say, this new year I'm going to resolute to do all things to the glory of God. And my own good, profit and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence. Resolve to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Resolve never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. I'm going to skip through some of these. Resolve never to count that a prayer, nor to let that pass as a prayer, nor that as a petition of prayer, which is so made that I cannot hope that God will answer it, nor that as a confession, which I cannot hope God will accept it. Resolve to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein I could possibly, in any respect, could I have done better. What an amazing thoughts as we go through these. Resolve never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. You see that thought? I'll never slack in this challenge to live for God and for his glory. Resolve to, after afflictions, to inquire what I am the better for them, what good I have got by them, and what I might have got by them. Resolve always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. Let there be something of benevolence in all that I speak. Just such great resolutions for us to remember in 2018. Use the past as a guide, not as an anchor. Learn what God has done and move forward into 2018 with great vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We as believers should be the most hopeful, the most resolute in living for the Lord and bringing him glory. What I'd like to do is now maybe ask two brothers to close, to thank God for 2017, and to look for things in the past, in the future, and also to ask the Lord for his blessing upon Western Wake, and then I'll close in a word of prayer. So if we could have two brothers. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we look back on 2017, Lord, and we just give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have got helped us through, Lord, and Lord, how you have blessed our lives, and through all the ups and downs, Lord, we give you praise for that, Lord, and we thank you for all your lessons that you teach us. Lord, we thank you for the new babies. We thank you for the new babies to come. Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would come healthy, Lord, and that you would plant these family lives in their new lives, and that you would use them mightily for thy name. Lord, we may miss loved ones that have passed on. Lord, we pray that they have gone on to glory to be with you, Lord. And if not, Lord, may it be a testimony unto others to know the gospel and to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, give us a passion and desire for this new year in 2018 to, Lord, hold nothing back, Lord, but to give you praise in all things and to be like it has been said, to be a lampstand in this dark world, Lord. Guide us, Lord, to use our mouth for thy glory and for the gospel message. Lord, help us to be mindful of the leading of the Holy Spirit to speak the name of Christ to others, Lord. Help us to show the love of Christ by bringing people over and giving them a meal and helping in their needs, Lord. We thank you again for all these wonderful blessings. We thank you for your goodness to us and the freedoms and liberties we have in this country to study your word and to proclaim your word, Lord. Guide us and keep us, Lord, and may you receive all the glory due unto your name. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.